ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नश्चप्रायेषु
पात्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
Today is Gopashtami, a very auspicious and blissful day for devotees of Krishna, especially those who love Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan and the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So I'll read from 10th to 10th, chapter 15 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, which is up on the screen. I think the devotees are sitting there. If someone can manage the crowd, so those of you sitting on this side, please come on this side. So those who come later on from the crowd, please shift, if you don't mind. Please shift on this side.
Shri Shuka Uvacha
Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pauganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this verse describes one of the most blissful festivals of Vrindavan. Of course, every festival is blissful. Govardhan Puja is blissful, and the whole month of Kartik is blissful. But this is another one of those blissful festivals. It is the day when Krishna was promoted. He was earlier taking care of the cows, and on this day, he was officially appointed as the carer of cows. So he graduated. Like a graduation ceremony that was held on this day. From calf herder to cow herder. And in the purport, there is a verse from the Padma Purana, Kartik Mahatmya, which has been quoted. Shuklashtami Kartikeyatu Smita Gopashtami Vidhai Tat Dina Vasudevo Bhut Gopara Purvam Tu Vatsapara. This month is Kartik. And every month, according to the Vedic calendar, has two halves, two fortnights. According to the phases of the moon, one is called the bright fortnight because the moon waxes, and then the dark fortnight because the moon wanes. So in Sanskrit, the bright fortnight is called Shukla and the dark fortnight is called Krishna. Bright and dark. So the eighth day of the fortnight is called Ashtami, as in Janmashtami, Radhashtami. Similarly, Gopashtami. So, it's the eighth day of the fortnight. Eighth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Kartik. Smita Gopashtami Budhai. So, Budhai means the learned people, the scholarly people. They have called this day as Gopashtami. Gopa means a cowherd. Go means a cow. Pa comes from Palana, which means to tend, or to look after, or to protect. So Krishna is the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. So on this day, which is called Gopashtami, it is on this day and after this, Tat Dinar, from this day onwards, Vasudeva Abhud, Vasudeva Krishna became, what did he become? Gopaha. He became a Gopa. He became a cowherd man. So wasn't he a cowherd before that? Let's clarify. It says Purvam Tu Vatsapaha. That means before this he was a herder of cows. So on this day onward he moved from looking after the cows to looking after the cows. This is God's eternal occupation. You see, in this world, we also have occupations. Someone is a teacher, someone is a lawyer, someone a doctor. So we have professions, why can't God have his profession? A rather unusual way of looking at God. And those who are not familiar with the ways of Vrindavan and the ways of devotion in Vrindavan will be perplexed of all the kinds of things we talk about. God being a cowherd man, God being blue in color, God playing the flute, God being tied to the grinding mortar. So Vrindavan is full of such transcendental puzzles for those who are uninitiated into the mysteries of Vrindavan. So Krishna is very fond of the cows. That is why we also love the cows. This festival is just for that, Gopashtami. It is a festival where Krishna's love for the cows is celebrated. His name is Gopal. Gopal means one who looks after the cows. His name is Govind, which means one who gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. Krishna's abode is called Gokul. Kul means the abode, Go means cow. His favorite spot is Govardhan, that spot which nourishes and enhances the welfare of the cows. So there are so many names of Krishna that pertain to the cows. So we can understand how dear the cows are to Krishna. So our standard of accepting something as worshipable, something as important, is what position does Krishna give to these entities in his scheme of things? For Krishna, Tulsi is very dear. He will not accept any offering of food unless you put a Tulsi leaf in it. And when one Tulsi leaf is given, he is fully satisfied. We know from the Govardhan Lila that when the Vrajavasis were offering so much of food to Govardhan, he was eating it all. And every time he was saying, Aniyur, I want more, I want more. The Vrajavasis had exhausted the stock of grains and other foodstuffs. Finally, they put one Tulsi leaf and Govardhan was satisfied. Now many people, they consider Tulsi valuable because it has medicinal value and you can make nice tea out of Tulsi leaves and such things. But that is not our criteria. In fact, we do not use Tulsi for making tea and herbs because we believe this leaf should only be offered to Krishna as bhoga along with the other items that we offer. So our standard is we respect Tulsi, we worship Tulsi, we adore Tulsi because Krishna does so. We serve the devotees, we worship the devotees because Krishna does so. Because Krishna loves the Vaishnavas, so we love the Vaishnavas. Everything that is in connection with Krishna is worshipable for us. Rupa Goswami has given us the standard of pure devotion and service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Anyam Vilashita Shunyam Yana Karma Yanamritam Anukulina Krishnanu Bhakti Uttama. Uttama Bhakti, the topmost bhakti is that which is rendered in a very favorable spirit without any taint of materialism, without any selfish interest, without expectation of any material reward, up to the point even of merging into the impersonal light, spiritual light, the Brahma Jyoti. Devoid of such contamination, when one serves Krishna, that is called topmost devotional service. And Rupa Goswami explains that when we say the word Krishna, it includes everything connected to Krishna. Because if you define bhakti only as service to Krishna, then it means you can't worship Tulsi, you can't worship the cow, you can't worship Ganga, Yamuna, you can't worship the Guru, you can't worship the Vaishnavas, you can't worship Vrindavan Dham. So Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna, the word Krishna in this verse indicates everything connected to Krishna. And that also means all those entities that Krishna loves. So Krishna loves the cows, so we love the cows. Krishna loves Tulsi, so we love Tulsi. Krishna loves Yamuna, so we love Yamuna. Krishna loves the devotees, so we love the devotees. Now there are many people who may look after cows, but they may do so only for some materialistic purpose, like they do the dairy industry mostly. They just want milk from the cow and then they send the cow away to the slaughterhouse. But that's not what we are talking about. So on this day we have to remember how dear the cows are to Krishna, and we should also try to serve the cows in whatever way possible. Of course, because we are all living in the city, it's hard for us to ever even see a cow except on the internet. And you may have to go to our farm near Cessnock and then you can see cows there. And that's also 2 or 2.5 hours away. But at least we can remember the cows, we can speak about the cows, we can glorify the cows and Krishna's pastimes with them. So Krishna is eternally looking after the cow. This is a very strong statement. It's not just that Krishna is fond of the cows, but Krishna is with the cows every single day, all day long. And he has been doing that from time immemorial without beginning. And he will do that for endless time. So this is the importance of the cows, that Krishna is constantly with the cows. Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur has explained that these pastimes of Krishna are called Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. You see, Krishna is in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. He performs many pastimes over there on a daily basis. And the cowherding pastimes are one of those very important pastimes. It's called a Go Charan Lila. Go means a cow, Charan means grazing. Lila means a pastime. Every morning Krishna leaves with the cows into the forest and returns again in the evening in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. When Krishna descends into this material world, he brings Vrindavan with him. And he performs the same pastimes that he does over there. The same with Pirina. And he also adds some other pastimes which he doesn't perform over there, like killing of the asuras, the demons. Why doesn't he kill the demons in Goloka Vrindavan?
No demons.
There aren't any demons there. No demon can have access to the spiritual world. So in the material world, when Vrindavan manifests, then Krishna gets an opportunity to perform all these pastimes. But Krishna's cowherding leela is always going on. In Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, as well as that same Vrindavan which is manifesting here in the material world. So we can understand how close and how dear the cows are to Krishna. There are so many pastime places of Krishna connected with the cows in Vrindavan. For those of you who have been there, these different pastimes. So in any case, and in this pastime places, surely, heard so much about Krishna's love for the cows is especially emphasized in festivals like Govardhan Puja, where along with worship of Govardhan, we also have Go Puja, Go Krida. Krida means play. Here, because we don't have cows, we can't have these other pastimes. We can only have Govardhan Puja. But in other temples in ISKCON, where we have the facility where it's possible to have a cow and some space, then we also bring the cow. And then the devotees perform arati for the cow, they worship the cow, They feed grass to the cows. The cows are decorated very nicely. And some calves are brought in, the cows frolic and jump and play. And all the devotees enjoy these activities of the cows. So this goes on the day of Govardhan Puja. But also on this day of Gopashtami, those temples, those devotees that can do it, they do it. Similar kinds of activities that go on. So on this day, as I mentioned, Krishna graduated from the tender of the cows to the tender of cows. So Tatvinan Vasudeva goes. So from that day onwards, Vasudeva Krishna became a Gopa. So what was he before that? Urvam tu Vatsapaha. Before that, he was a Vatsapa. Vatsa means a cow. So before this day, he was Vatsapa. And after Gopashtami onwards, he became Gopa. So graduation ceremony. Just like a doctor, he's a student, and on graduating day becomes a doctor. So this was like an initiation or like a graduation ceremony. But what is interesting is, this was not the first initiation ceremony. This was the second one. Of course, this initiation is not like the initiation we are familiar with. This is initiation into cow herding. But there was also a similar ceremony conducted when Krishna was first officially given care of the cows and was given the responsibility to graze the cows independently. A big festival was done there also at that time. So I'll talk briefly about that and the events in between and finally come to the pastime of Gopashtami. So as you know, Krishna moved at birth from Mathura to Gokul. And he performed his childhood pastimes in Gokul. Many, many pastimes. He killed Putana, he killed Janavarta, he killed Shakatasura, he ate dirt. Then the Damodar Leela happened, and he had pastime with a lady who was selling fruit. And these activities were going on. And Krishna was relishing the Bal Leela, childhood pastimes. He was relishing the Vatsalya Ras, the mellow of love from his parents, the parental love. As time went on, demons were coming in. Already Krishna, even at his very, very young age, had killed many fierce demons and demonesses like Putana, etc. So the Brajavasis were getting a little worried. What should we do? How shall we protect Krishna? It's so dangerous living here in Gokul. So let us shift somewhere else. So they had an Ishtagoshti. And they called all the members of Vrindavan, they all gather together. So this is our problem. We have so much danger here. What should we do now? So they all started discussing various options. And then somebody suggested, you know, there's a very nice place not too far from here. It's called Vrindavan. And it's all the more beautiful because the Yamuna flows nearby. And then there's Govardhan Hill. And there'll be plenty of fresh succulent grass for our cows. There won't be any problem there. So let us all shift there. So they were hoping that things would get better in terms of security issues if they went from Gokul to Vrindavan. So they all agreed. Now the time came to shift. So all of them, the entire village shifted. All the gopas and gopis with their children, with their cows, with their luggage. Of course, they lived very simple lives in the countryside. And when it was time for them to pack up, they didn't need to pack up washing machines and refrigerators and all the air conditioners and all such paraphernalia. They just went with all their basic belongings. They just stuffed it into a few cars, ox cars, bullock cars. And every family kept the luggage there, and they moved on. They started walking and walking. Now, a bit of geography. In Krishna consciousness, there's everything. There's mathematics, there's history, there's geography, there's science, there's everything. It's a bit of geography. The geography is that the Yamuna River flows through Vrajabhumi, Vrajananda. And there are some forests that are on the eastern side of Vrindavan, of Yamuna, and some forests on the western side. There are 12 main forests, of which 5 main forests are on the eastern side, 7 on the western side. So Gokul is on the eastern side. So now, in those days, there were no bridges to cross over the river. So they had to go to a point where perhaps there was very shallow water, some stream where they could cross over. So they had to go north along the river Yamuna. So from Gokul they started out and they went northwards and they passed the other forests of Belvan, Lohavan, and reached a forest called Bhandirvan. And they managed to cross there. So all the Vrajavasis with their carts and everything went. And then the cows, they had to go a little further on because they couldn't go into this water. So they went to a place called Bhadravan further, and then they crossed over. And once they had crossed over to the other side of the Yamuna, now they moved southwards again. And they came all the way down to Vrindavan, a place called Chatikara. Those of you who have been to Chatikara, to Vrindavan, you know that the place that touches the highway, main highway from the Krishna Balaram Mandir, one road goes up and meets the highway, so that junction is called Chatikara today. So that name has come about because the Vrajavasis eventually came there and they set up camp over there. And because they had many bullock carts, they set them up in the shape of a semicircle. And then they all parked themselves within that semicircular area to get some kind of protection. So because they kept their carts, which is called Shakata, in a semicircle, it's called Shatikara, Shakatikara. So then it changed, it became Chatikara today. So anyway, they stayed there for some time. And of course, the Vrajavasis were very happy, Krishna was happy, the cows were happy, they enjoyed many pastimes over there. So in Vrindavan, Krishna was growing up. When they left Gokul, he had reached, or he was nearing the end of his Kaumar Lila. Kaumar is also Balya, which means childhood stage. So for Krishna, there's a childhood stage, the boyhood stage, adolescent stage, and youth. So these are the 4 stages. And then once Krishna reaches the adolescent age and the end of that, then he never grows after that. He remains eternally an adolescent youth, a pre-youth, Nava Yauvanam Cha. So then Krishna was nearing the end of his childhood age. And when they moved to Vrindavan from Gokul, Krishna now started becoming a little self-conscious. Earlier he was bathed by his mother and he used to be completely naked and mother used to bathe him. Now as he was growing up a little, he started becoming self-conscious. And then he was very embarrassed when his mother was bathing him and dressing him. So he would quickly go through the bath somehow or the other. And even as his mother was dressing him, then he would also quickly just let her put on a few dresses, he would run away to the other room and he would do the rest of the dressing himself. So Mother Yashoda was getting a little sad to see this because this is the way of this world. Children will grow up eventually. And then when they grow up, they won't listen to you. That's going to happen. And what was more for Mother Yashoda, she didn't fear that Krishna would not listen to her. She was thinking he's going to go out and raise the cows. And then what's going to happen? And he'll be out all day and I won't be able to see Krishna. Anyway, she knew the inevitable was going to happen. After all, Krishna is a cowboy boy. The whole community of Brajvasis were cowboy people. So one day this was going to happen. So anyway, in the meanwhile, Krishna was developing a desire to go out with the cowherd men to graze the calves and the cows. So he approached Nanda Maharaj and he said, I want to go out with you. When you people go out and graze the cows, we want to accompany you. So Nanda Maharaj was very simple, he said, yes, okay, come. So then Krishna and Balaram, they accompanied them along with the other younger boys. So they all went, and as they went out, they would accompany the elders, the gopas would graze the cows, and sometimes the gopas would sit, the older cowherd men would sit down, and they would watch as their cows grazed, and Krishna would sit on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. Sometimes he would sit on the lap of the other older gopas. And then he was reaching that age where he was extremely curious about things. So he would ask a lot of questions. And he still wasn't able to speak very clearly. His pronunciation was still not very distinct. So he would ask many questions. What is that bird there? What is the name of this tree? Why is it happening like this here? Why this peacock raising its feathers? He would ask so many questions. And all the gopas, they would float in an ocean of ecstasy. And sometimes Krishna and Balaram, along with the cowherd boys, would go in front of the cows and pretend as if they were raising the cows. And Krishna would say, okay, I'll be the first one to go in front of the cows. So he would run. And the others would also run behind him. So in this way they would play. And time passed like this. One day, however, Mother Yashoda came to know about this. Of course, she came to know very soon. And then she forbade Nanda Maharaj. So there was a bit of a husband-wife issue that day. And there was a kind of a showdown in the house. She said, how can you do this? How can you take Krishna and Balaram, who are so young, into the forest to graze the cows? It's so dangerous. It's too early for them to go. And Nanda Maharaj knew that silence is a better part of virtue of wisdom. He knew when to keep quiet and when to argue and when to speak something. So he understood it better I keep quiet. So he kept quiet. And so then he conveyed the news to Krishna. Now Krishna was heartbroken, and Balaram also. So they were very, very sad. Okay? So they were very, very sad. And so then one day, Krishna and Balaram wanted to be with the cows. So they ran away. When Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men had gone into the forest, they ran away behind them. And they lost the way. So somehow they went here, they went there, they started playing a few games, and somehow or the other they made their way back. And they were able to come back to the village. So when this happened, then again Nanda Maharaj conferred with Mother Yashoda. And they were discussing the tone that this is really a cause of anxiety. If this restless boy keeps running away into the forest like this, you know, fortunately he was able to find his way back today. But what if he gets lost in the forest? There are dangerous animals there. Anything could happen. And the forest is so big, where would we go and search for him? So then, Mother Yashoda finally relented. Actually, one day before that, before the showdown, after the showdown had happened, Nanda Maharaj had still made another try. He had gone to ask Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini for permission to take Krishna and Balaram out now. But it was flatly denied. Nothing doing. They were not entertained. That is when Krishna and Balaram ran away into the forest to. They were actually wanted to look for the cowherd men and the cows. So finally, when this happened, then Mother Yashoda realized it's better to give them permission to take out the calves. Because otherwise this boy will just run away somewhere, he'll do some mischief and some tragedy could happen. So they all discussed it amongst themselves. And again, Ishtagoshi was called. And the cowherd men and the ladies, gopas, gopis, called each other. So very festive occasion, they decide, okay, let's give them the chance to take the cows out. Mother Yashoda was not comfortable with this idea. But nevertheless, she had to agree what to do. But the condition was that the calves would not be taken away to a great distance. Because the calves were also very small. So they were permitted to take the calves only, but also up to only a very short distance from the village, where they could be within eyesight. So the gopis could keep an eye on them. So this happened, they started going out. It was an occasion of jubilation. Krishna went out. At this time, as Krishna was about to go, the festival was organized. And Nanda Maharaj offered Krishna, in this initiation ceremony, the paraphernalia of a cowherd boy. What are the paraphernalia? Number one, there is a cowherding stick. They don't use it, but he's just supposed to have it. Then he gave him a flute. Then he gave him a buffalo horn. And these things were with him, and also a milking rope. Because sometimes when the cows become very frisky, they have to tie the rear legs lightly so that the cow won't kick and you can milk. So these are the four paraphernalia. So they would tuck in the flute on the waist, and they would hang the bugle from the side, and they would carry the other things, paraphernalia, along with them. And then the time came, Mother Yashoda said, okay, now you're about to go into the forest, now you have to wear shoes. So you must wear leather shoes because there are a lot of thorns and pebbles in the forest. The soles of your feet are so soft, they will get pricked. But Krishna says, no, the leather is the skin of the cow. Cows are so dear to us, how can I do that? So Krishna flatly denied the instruction of Mother Yashoda. He said, no, I'm not going to wear anything leather. So that's an instruction for all of us. Also, don't use leather bags. Don't use leather shoes, leather belts, leather purses. Nowadays there are plenty of alternatives available. You don't have to use leather. So the Mother Yashoda was still persisting. So Krishna said, look, you want me to wear footwear. And we are just serving the cows. We are dependent on the cows. And what about the cows? They're going barefoot. If you want to give me footwear, then you should give them footwear as well. And now Mother Yashoda was checkmated. She had nothing more to say. After all, Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And each cow has two pairs of legs, not only one pair. So it means Mother Yashoda would have to have so many pairs of shoes. And that is not possible. And finally she relented. And she says, all right. In the verse that we read today, it says, Tatahacha, Tataha means then. Pauganda Vayaha, Shritau. So Krishna attained Shritau, the age of Pauganda. So can we see the verse? Yeah. He attained the age of Pauganda. This is yet to come though. This is about Gopashtami. We're still about during the first initiation. But I just want to briefly talk about the last line. And it's Vrindavana Punyam Ativa Chakratuho. And because Krishna was walking with his bare feet on the holy land of Vrindavan, the land of Vrindavan became even more glorified and auspicious. And this was a great fortune of Mother Earth. And Mother Earth became even more fortunate than Vaikuntha. You know why? Because in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan performs pastimes, but he wears footwear. He wears his sandals. But in Vrindavan, he was in bare feet. So Vaikuntha does not have the good fortune of getting the imprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. Whereas Vrindavan is fortunate because Krishna's lotus feet fall upon it. And now that Vrindavan had manifested on earth, Mother Earth became so fortunate and glorious. So she was in immense ecstasy. And then she was also worried like Mother Yashoda, because there are so many thorns and pebbles and they're going to prick Krishna's lotus feet. So what should we do? So she arranged that the cows would go into the forest whenever they went for grazing, and with their hooves they would crush all the pebbles and all the thorns so that it became very finely ground dust. It was very soft. So that there would be no disturbance, there would be no pain that Krishna and his friends would feel. So Mother Earth now made it very easy for Krishna and the cowherd boys to go into the forest. And these footprints that remained on Mother Earth in Vrindavan, they were undisturbed, they were preserved. Now we may ask, how is that possible? When we walk into some place and somehow or the other our footprints come onto the mud, very shortly it gets erased, either because of the wind or someone else steps on it. But how is it that these footprints of Krishna were preserved in Vrindavan? Because you see, all the residents of Vrindavan, not just the gopas and gopis, but also the cows, the peacocks, the deer, the birds, and everyone understood that the real treasure of Vrindavan was these lotus footprints of Krishna. When you have some valuable treasure, then you preserve it very carefully. So whenever the deer and the other animals would run around in Vrindavan, the moment they saw Krishna's footprints, they would go inside. They wouldn't step on it. So therefore, Krishna's footprints were preserved very nicely in Vrindavan. Therefore, it is said, Vrindavanam punyam ativa chakravaru. So Krishna and Balaram, with their lotus footprints, they made Vrindavan exceedingly glorious and auspicious and fortunate. So even though this verse refers to a later time, but still the same phenomenon happened when Krishna started moving out into the forest with his bare feet. So then Krishna and Balaram started moving out. Jiva Goswami mentions one little pastime in which one calf, who was not accustomed to going out and being away from her mother, she was getting a little fidgety and itchy, and Krishna didn't know how to, you know, what to do. So he went up to the calf and said, don't worry, I'll take you back to your mother. Although it was not possible to take her back to the mother, because they had drawn all the calves out at a distance. So Jiva Goswami said, this was just childish talk that Krishna was doing. So Krishna was talking to the calves, and when the calves were grazing, they would have many, many nice pastimes there. The cowherd boys would gather together. Sometimes they would imitate cows and bulls. Sometimes they would imitate bulls who were fighting. Have you seen bulls fighting? Or sometimes it can be really something. The bulls, especially the macho ones, when they fight, they put their horns, they lock horns together and they push each other. Even 10 grown strong men cannot stop them. They're extremely strong when they fight with each other. So anyway, so they were imitating these bulls who were fighting. Sometimes they would imitate birds, they would imitate frogs, they would imitate other animals. Sometimes they saw a frog jumping into the pond, they would also jump after the frog into the well, into the pond. In this way, they would perform many pastimes. So this happened after the first cowherding pastime of the calf herding, rather, the first initiation ceremony happened. And this happened soon after they entered Vrindavan. And then one day, when the cowherd boys had gone out into the forest, one of the demons sent by Krishna, by Kamsa, killed them. He had assumed the form of a calf. Calf means Vatsa. So he was called Vatsasura. Asura means a demon. So he was a demon who had disguised himself as a calf. Krishna very easily understood that this was a demon in disguise. So he told Balaram the gestures, this is a demon. So they went out, they went behind him, and suddenly they caught hold of, Krishna caught hold of the tail of this demon. And he whirled him and whirled him around so fast, and he threw him up into the air, that the demon's life there left the body. He fell on the top of trees and eventually he died. And then all the cowherd boys chanted, sadhu, sadhu, bravo, bravo, very nice, very nice. The demigods also were jubilant. After the killing of Vatsasura, another day when the cowherd boys went out, there was another demon who came along, who had taken the form of a gigantic bird, heron bird. Baka. Baka is the name of the bird, so it was called Bakasura. Now this Bakasura was actually the brother of Putana. He was also the brother of Aghasura, who was going to come later. So he sat there with this beak, huge beak, and the cowherd boys, they were there, they entered into the wanted to play with the beak, and Krishna entered in. And then he expanded himself, and it became so burning hot that Bakasura had to throw up. And Krishna came out, he cut the two beaks, the two parts of the beak of the bird, and he split him just like a child splits the blade of grass. And Bakasura was such a powerful demon that even the demigods were afraid of him. And they started showering flowers from behind the clouds. In this way the time passed. And the cowherd boys along with Krishna would have many, many other wonderful pastimes like this. Sometimes they would go to a little lake, they would build a bridge, they would act as Ram along with the monkey army, someone would play Ravana, and they would play all these games as little boys in the forest. And finally one day, there was another demon who was the brother of Putana and Bakasura. When he heard about the killing of his two siblings, he was enraged. So he also came up and he was in the form of a big, huge, fat serpent. And he had kept his mouth open. There are many parks for children where you have, you know, all these things where the children walk into it and come up from the other side. So the children assumed this was some kind of play thing. So the boys went in. They were all talking, what is this? Maybe it's an animal. But anyway, Krishna's with us, so we have nothing to fear. So they went inside, and Krishna said, oh, what's happened? He knew this is a demon. And he started marveling at the way the external energy, that your own energies act. Finally, Krishna also entered into Agasura's mouth, and he expanded himself. And because of that, Agasura could not maintain his life airs. And all the cowherd boys were saved, and Agasura was killed. Even before the killing of Agasura, after the killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura, when the cowherd boys came back home, they narrated all these events. And the residents of Vrindavan were filled with bliss. And all day long, they would simply discuss the different qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that because they were constantly absorbed in talking about Krishna, they never felt the threefold miseries of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada says that this is how the devotee should be. That if we are always absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then the miseries of this world will never touch us. It's not that the causes of misery will cease. They will still continue to be there. But because we are absorbed in Krishna Katha, in Krishna Naam, so we will experience so much happiness that we will not be subject to the miseries of this material existence. So anyway, now Krishna had killed Vatsasura, he had killed Bakasura, he killed Kadhasura. And this pastime was not told by the boys to the grown-ups in Vrindavan for one whole year. When Parikshit Maharaj asked why this was so, then Shukadeva Goswami related the pastime called Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastime of the bewilderment of Brahma. When he kidnapped the calves and the cowherd boys, he hid them in a cave, and Krishna duplicated himself into exact replicas of those boys and those calves. And when Brahma finally came in front of him, Krishna manifested his four-armed form, just as in that picture there. You can see Krishna has expanded himself into all the cowherd boys, and in front of Brahma, he exhibits his four-armed form. And Brahma is completely bewildered. And then Brahma offers prayers to Krishna. That happens in the 14th chapter. So, let's recap a bit. So the residents of Vrindavan, being fearful of the demons attacking in Gokul, soon after the Damodar Leela happens, and the pastime of the eating of dirt and showing the universal form to Krishna, etc., they move on the other side of the Yamuna, they come to Vrindavan, Krishna is growing up now, and he wants to graze the calves. So, this calf herding pastime happens, the first initiation into the calf herding takes place. Krishna's friends go out along with Krishna, they perform many, many nice games in the forest, and Krishna kills these demons. Then the Brahma Vimohana Leela happens. Brahma's prayers are in the 14th chapter. And now we start the 15th chapter, and this is the first verse. So soon after all these pastimes have happened, Krishna was still growing. You know, at that age they grow very fast. So now Krishna had reached the end of the Balyavastha, the childhood age. And now he didn't allow Mother Yashoda to bathe him at all. He didn't allow her to dress him at all, because now he said, I'm grown up. So now I will not allow you to dress me. He was embarrassed to let his mother see him without clothes. So now he wanted to do everything himself. In the meanwhile, he was also developing a deep desire to raise the cows. Mother Yashoda was seeing the writing on the wall. These were not good signs for her, that Krishna is growing up and soon will be out. And he'll be out all day, and she won't be able to see him. But she resigned herself to her fate. What to do now? It's inevitable in this world. If she saw the writing on the wall, now he doesn't even want me to bathe him. So what to do? So Krishna continued growing up. And in this way, as time passed, one day, Nanda Maharaj noticed that Krishna was behaving a little strangely. He was trying to avoid him. And he would go and talk to his uncles, that is Nanda Maharaj's brothers. Nanda Maharaj had four brothers, so totally there were five brothers. Their father was Parjanya. So Krishna would not come to Nanda Maharaj, he would go and talk to his uncles. And he would talk in a secretive way, and looking back, if anybody was listening and seeing, Nanda Maharaj was observing this. So he was wondering, what is Krishna up to? What is he talking about? This happened for 2 or 3 days. Then finally, Nanda Maharaj approached his brothers. He said, what's happening? Why is Krishna? What does Krishna want? So the brothers were looking at each other, what to say, not to say. Then the youngest brother is Pindavis. He said, Krishna wants to go with the cows to Vrindavan. And this was as if a thunderbolt had struck Nanda Maharaj. And he said, my God, what is going to happen now? Krishna already wants to raise the cows. He's so small, and then he'll go out and we'll not see him all day. Then the other brother, he salvaged the situation. And he said, no, actually, Krishna is growing up. So you see, he feels my father is now growing old. Why should he take the trouble of going into the forest and looking after the cows? Now I am capable, So I will go out with the cows now. So Nanda Maharaj is somehow pacified a little bit. Meanwhile, Krishna had been, even before that incident, repeatedly telling his parents and others that he wants to go out grazing the cows. And sometimes he would, naturally the elders were not convinced. So he would slap his arms to show them that he was very strong. He would stand there and slap and say, "See, I'm strong." But even when he saw, his parents were not convinced what to do. So he thought of ways and means, and therefore he had approached his uncles. If they could work out some arrangement, if something could be done. So then Nanda Maharaj was thinking of what to do. So then again an Ishtagoshti was called. And by this time Krishna had reached the Pogan age. And that's what this verse describes. So all of them had an Ishtagoshti, and they started speaking about the state of affairs in Vrindavan. And actually, a little crisis had come up in the Goshala. And the lives of the Vrindavasis depended on the cows. So any crisis in the Goshala was such a real disease. What happened? The cows had somehow got wind of the fact that Krishna wanted to take them out for grazing. Now that they got this news, they refused to go out with anyone else. So they were waiting for Krishna to take them. So when the government came to take them out of the sheds, if they didn't go and get the nourishment from the forest, then what would happen? They would fall sick. So this was a crisis for the cowherd of Vrindavan. So all these events started happening, and therefore the Ishtagoshti was called. The emergency cabinet meeting, all the members and all the others came together. What to do now? And finally, they again said, "What now? Can't delay it anymore. The time has come. After all, we are cowherders, and our children are going to follow in our footsteps, and they're also going to look after the cows. So anyway, let us give them an opportunity." So then, with a heavy heart, all the elders, especially Mother Yashoda and Maharaj, agreed. And then preparations began for a grand festival. 3 days prior to the festival, that is 3 days prior to this day, all over the village and everywhere, announcers went on, here, 3 days from now, on this day, we are going to have a grand festival. And Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys who are of this age, they will become gopas. They will now start taking out the big cows into the forest. The tremendous excitement was building up all over Braj when everyone heard these announcements. And then on the appointed day, that is this day, all the Brajavasis gathered there, the priests, the brahmanas had come, the gopis were singing various songs of auspiciousness to give protection to Krishna, Balaram and the friends. The brahmans were chanting all sorts of mantras and all sorts of other yajnas, and all sorts of rituals and festivals were happening there. Musical instruments were playing. And a grand ceremony was held. Krishna and Balaram came there. They offered their obeisances to their father, then to all the elder gopas and gopis, to the brahmanas. Then they offered obeisances to the cows. They fed grass to the cows. And then, in the ceremony, you know, just like in a sannyas ceremony, the sannyas guru will give the new sannyas the ganga, the staff. Okay, now this is your staff, and your new name is so-and-so Swami or Goswami. So similarly, Nanda Maharaj gave to Krishna a jeweled cowherding stick. He said, "Here, Krishna, now you are officially our gopa from today. You were a vatsapa, and now you become a gopa." And then now Krishna felt very happy and very proud that he had now become a gopa. And along with all his friends of the same age, now they were officially allowed to go into the forest with the grown-up cows. Mother Yashoda, of course, was still very nervous. When the first initiation had happened, after that, every day, Mother Yashoda and the other gopis, the mothers of the other boys, would go into the forest and they would carry the lunch and prasadam for the boys. And they would feed the boys and then come back. But now when they started raising a cow, this would not be possible because the boys would go very deep into the forest. So Mother Yashoda was concerned for his safety. So she called all the cowherd boys. And she said, look, Balaram, you should always be in front of Krishna whenever he's walking through the forest. And Sri Rama and Subal, you be on the left and right of Krishna. And Subal, you be also behind Krishna. And all you cowherd boys, you make a circle around Krishna so that he's protected. He is your very dear friend, remember. And then all the cowherd boys, along with the cows, they were ready to go. All the cowherd boys were jubilantly blowing their horns and they were playing their flutes. It's not only Krishna who plays the flute in Vrindavan. All the cowherd boys play the flute, but no one plays it like Krishna. That's the difference. So they were all playing their flutes and their horns, and it was like a tumultuous sound there. Huge festive sound going on. The boys were blissful, the cows were blissful, but the other Vrajavasis were not blissful. Because they were seeing now Krishna Balaram going out into the forest. But a peculiar thing happened. The cows would refuse to budge. So Krishna was thinking, now what happened? They were earlier not going because I was not going into the forest, but now I'm going with them, so why are they not coming? So Krishna had been waiting for the cows to come out and lead the way. But the cows said, no, first you go, then we will come. So till Krishna and the cowherd boys started walking, till then the cows didn't come out. And then when Krishna Balaram started moving with the cowherd boys, then the cows came out from behind. And you can only imagine the scene of jubilation there. The boys were jumping and dancing and singing and, you know, they were so overjoyed that now they would be with Krishna all day long. The Vrajavasis were thinking, oh, now we won't see Krishna all day long. But the boys were very happy. The cows were very happy. And they were all going into the distance, shouting, cheering, making fun of each other, doing mischief, stealing each other's boxes, different boxes. In this way, they all started moving into the forest. And that is the way Gopashtami was celebrated on this day. The eighth day of the month, the bright fortnight of Kartik. In Vrindavan, there is another folk tale that goes like this. That there was another ceremony that was held that was only for the boys and the men. Because it was only the men who took the cows out for grazing. The ladies would be at home, they would churn the butter, they would do clean the house, they would do all these other things. So in this ceremony where only the boys and men were allowed, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, young gopis, desperately wanted to go for this festival, but they couldn't go. Now it so happened that Srimati Radharani looked just like Subal Sakha, like one of the friends of Krishna. So she dressed like a cowherd boy. She wore a dhoti and she had another dress. And the other cowherd boys also wore, other gopis, small gopis also wore the dress of cowherd boys. And they went in and participated in the festival. Therefore in Vrindavan on this day, and especially in Krishna Balaram Mandir there, you will see that on this one day, Srimati Radharani is dressed like a cowherd boy. Not like a gopi, like a gopa. And sometimes they show the lotus feet on this day, but that probably will not continue. So now we don't show the lotus feet of Radharani. We are not supposed to exhibit the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So then this pastime also happened on that day, so in Vrindavan people remember this incident also. So because this festival happened in a grand way, Krishna's second graduation ceremony happened, now he was officially a full-fledged Gopa. He was now Gopal. So So this is the festival that happened on Gopashtami. So in Vrindavan and Krishna Balaram temple, there is a festival in the Goshala. All the devotees gather there in the morning. There is a class. There is aarti, worship of the cow. And all the devotees go and feed laddus and grass to the cows. And the cows are very gaily decorated. Turmeric is put, you know, wrapped on their horns. And also you find handprints of turmeric on their bodies to impart auspiciousness. They are dressed with all sorts of nice silk and clothing and ornaments. It's a very, very festive scene. So all the devotees go there and they feed the cows, they stroke the cows. Some of them clean the goshala. They remember the cows and spend a blissful day in the goshala, at least the morning. So it is a nice festival to celebrate, and I think every temple in ISKCON should celebrate it, at least with a class on this topic. Although having cows in the city is not practical, especially we say in Sydney it's not possible, but we can at least talk about it and remember this pastime on Gopashtami. And we can remember how dear the cows are to Krishna. And therefore worship of the cow as well and serve and remember Krishna as Gopal and Govinda. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shri Gopashtami Mahotsava Ki
Jai.
Shri Sri Radha.